You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of AFTA. That stands for Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. Our website is afta.org. Also, you could plug in americansfortruth.org. And we're having in part two of our interview with Barb Anderson, and we're pre-taping, just so you know. Barb is a volunteer researcher with the Minnesota Family Council, which is a pro-family group that I believe is affiliated with Focus on the Family. And as we talked about last week, there's just some incredible things going on in the schools, and Barb is on the front lines of researching, investigating, and exposing and fighting this radical sex ed. Some of it's done in the name of sex ed. Some of it's done in the name of family life skills, as she said. Also diversity, multiculturalism. However it's working its way in, it's wrong. And it's misleading young men and women, even boys and girls. Barb, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Barb, and thanks for all you've done in this struggle, and you know, thanks for your faithful service. You've been doing this now for Minnesota Family Council, and that website again, mfc.org. You've been doing this for over a decade.
That's correct. They're a great organization. I enjoy working with them.
Well, and we all need to make sure your work gets out there more across the country and is not limited to Minnesota, because it's important work. Now, you were telling me in a phone conversation off the air, Barb, about one of these horror stories of a young girl who got led into one of these clinics, these school-based clinics. Tell me the whole story.
Well, Jamie Bell is a very courageous young woman, and she testified before the Hopkins High School School Board, because there is an organization called the West Suburban Teen Clinic who is trying to get a satellite office on their school campus. And this would be the first suburban school district to have one of these school-based clinics. We have several in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And she was so concerned because of what the damage that had been done to her life. She was a typical rebellious teenager with Christian parents, and they tried to instill in her the values that they wanted her to follow. And she was led to this teen clinic where she was told that she could get birth control, morning after pills, she could have exams, condoms, anything that she needed, and didn't have to tell her parents. And in fact, they said, you know, they don't need to know. It is you have the right to this information. So she started going to this clinic, and she said the clinic made it so easy for her to have sex. They never talked about abstinence until marriage. And because she was set on this path of deception, she thought, well, the parents, you know, don't need to know about birth control pills. Well, then she started feeling bad about herself, started taking drugs, and she thought, they don't need to know about my drugs. And it began a pattern in her life where she would lie to her parents about many things. And she said it messed her up so much, her body physically, that she does not know if she will ever have normal periods, because they gave her these morning after pills without talking about any of the side effects, the negative health risks for these pills. And they gave her extra ones that she could hide at her friend's house so her parents wouldn't have to know that she had these pills. And she said it affected her education, because she would sit in class thinking about what courses and classes that she could skip so that she could get to the clinic and get more pills or more condoms before the end of the school day. So you can see how this really takes these students and creates a division between them and their parents by this deception and by telling the kids, your parents don't have a right to know this. This is your right to have, you have control over your own body. And she said her parents tried to protect her, but the clinic took that right away. And yet, what happens in the end is the parents are left to pick up the pieces of the broken lives that are left behind.
And did she get pregnant, or did she have an abortion?
She did get pregnant, and she had the child, and she gave the baby to a wonderful Christian family. And she is just a wonderful girl now who's just turned her life around and gotten on the right track and is talking about the importance of abstinence until marriage. But she lives with the scars and the consequences of this behavior that was condoned by the school-based clinic.
Now, Barb, this is just such a fascinating issue. The key thing I think you said is that the part where the parents don't need to know. So they are giving reckless, dangerous advice. They are giving powerful chemicals to underage kids, and it's all legal. Now, was there an investigation after this happened? Did anything? Is that clinic still operating now?
Oh, they're still operating. They come into the schools and teach a lesson on birth control, and this is going on repeatedly. And they come in with their condoms, their male genitals that they have. They have condom reel erasers in the classroom. They turn out the lights so the kids can see the glow in the dark condoms. They have musical condoms, patriotic condoms. All this goes on without the parents having a clue that this is happening during the day. And then you can imagine, you know, the shock to these kids. And then they go to math class the next hour, and you think they're concentrating on math after they've been through a class like that?
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Well, here's what I'm going to say right now. If you're a young person reading this and you ever are in one of these classes, get out your iPhone. I know you're not supposed to have it, but videotape it. And send it to us. Send it to the Minnesota Family Council. If this stuff got out, if what happened in some of these sessions actually got out to the public, and in certain cases it has, Barb, it would set off a firestorm of reaction. They're banking on parents not discovering what's going on. Is that an exaggeration?
Oh, that's right. That's why they tell the kids you don't have to tell your parents, because they don't want. I think they realize that there would be such an outrage if the parents found out what was going on. And in fact, two parents in a school district in southern Minnesota found out what was going on in these classes, or south of the Twin Cities, and they testified before our state legislature as to the appalling lessons that were taught in the class. And so their testimony was very crucial in stopping a bill that would mandate more of this in the schoolroom.
Yeah, and so we need to get this information out, and that's what you're all about. Now, I assume if it's okay to give all that information to a young girl in a clinic, then in the same sense, it's happening on the homosexual issue. You have kids coming in. The parents don't need to know that you're at the Gay Straight Alliance, right? Barb, they don't have a right to know that their son is at a place where he's being taught or being encouraged to embrace a homosexual identity.
Oh, that's right. No, they would tell the students the same thing there, that this is your right, this is your life and your feelings, and you need to make the decision. And really, we're seeing such wide-scale corruption of our youth at the hands of these homosexual activists.
Can you tell me a horror story on that issue, on the homosexual issue, or one that you've heard? You told us last week about the father who was resisting the AIDS education directed at kindergartners. And you can, again, all listeners, you can get that interview at AmericansForTruth.org. Just go to the Americans for Truth Hour icon on the left side. But what's another story on the homosexual issue that you exposed and actually fought?
Well, there's another elementary story that is just quite shocking, that a parent called me, and his son was in fourth grade when they had an AIDS lesson. This is in another school district. And one child in class asked, "What is it that gay guys do?" And this teacher...
I'm sorry, what grade? What grade is this again?
Fourth grade.
What is it that gay guys do? Okay.
And this teacher proceeded to describe the act of oral sodomy, what these men do to each other, to this class of fourth graders. This child went home, and one child that we know of told his parents. I don't know if the other children ever did. And in telling his parents what the teacher had described to him, this little boy threw up. And the father said that he went to the teacher and asked the teacher, "What is it? I want you to know, tell me exactly what you told these children." And he said the teacher was so embarrassed to tell the father. And he said, "If I said things like this to children on a playground, I would expect to be arrested. And yet this teacher could get by with this in the classroom." And he said, "How many children in that class never told their parents and had dreams about this?" And he said, "He took away my child's innocence." And he said, his child has had, thoughts about this that will continually come to his mind for who knows how long.
Unbelievable. Now, was the teacher a homosexual?
I do not know that. We don't have that information.
Were there any consequences for the teacher?
None at all. None at all. But we use this as a springboard for testimony in our school district to get, again, the AIDS teaching and that they should not be taught anything about definitions of sodomy in the elementary classroom.
Now, this is an odd question, but how do you teach anal sex without teaching the health risks? Do they just say, if you wear a condom, do they imply that it's going to be okay?
Yes. They talk
even though condoms don't work the same for that unnatural, disgusting practice as even they would for normal sex.
No, and they give such false statistics about condom safety when they say, like this Captain Condom that we were talking about in an earlier hour, 98% effective is what Captain Condom says. But that's in the laboratory. That's not reality rates, and that certainly isn't reality when it comes to anal sodomy, because the slippage and breakage rate is much higher for anal sodomy. And so it is just, you can imagine how this violates the minds of these young children that have not even been exposed in many cases to normal sexuality, and now they're being given these forms and choices of perverse behavior and without even being told of the health risks.
Yeah, it gives them another option without all the facts.
That's right. And I mean, these behaviors carry severe public health hazards, and yet we're not telling the children them.
Well, we're talking with Barb Anderson of Minnesota Family Council, and this is just very shocking information, but it's been going on for years and years, and the liberals have a model, and the model is use state education to indoctrinate our kids. That's what they do. They use our taxpayer dollars to indoctrinate children. And we're going to talk more about it with Barb Anderson of Minnesota Family Council. That website is mfc.org. Everybody, you're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We've got lots of resources. You can click the button on the right. There's our Truth Academy, and we hope to have Barb Anderson speak at our Truth Academy. She has a font of knowledge about the what's going on in our schools. Barb, I just once again commend you for not backing down and not doing all that one person can do with God's help to help expose these horrors. But before I ask you another question, I want to say I should have issued the warning at the start of the show. Our show airs at 11 o'clock at night on Saturday. We're pre-taping here with Barb. And so, if you're this show is not appropriate for young children, unfortunately, the stuff that's being taught in the schools is not appropriate for young children either, right, Barb?
Right.
I mean, that's what's so amazing. Before I go on, I want to ask you, bullying, that's all the rage now in the media. It seems that the media really starts caring about youth suicides when there are kids practicing homosexuality who commit suicide. And, of course, that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy when anybody of whatever age takes their own life. It's just a terrible, terrible thing. It's a tragedy. Tell us how bullying is being used by the liberal side, by the homosexual activists, to actually promote more kids embracing homosexuality.
Well, it is so sad that in our school district we've had just the horrible, horrific experience of having 7 suicides within a year's time. And 3 of those students apparently were struggling with their sexual identity and sexual issues. And because of that, an organization called the Gay Equity Team in our school district, made up of teachers and students and some student learning advocates, they have partnered with a GLSEN local chapter that has come into our school district.
Explain what GLSEN is.
The Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network.
Yes, it's a leading group in the country promoting homosexual propaganda, bisexual, transsexuality in the schools.
That's right. And so they have taken especially one parent who is going through grieving for her son, and rightfully so, but I really believe that these gay activists are making taking advantage of this situation now to bring in to the schools their safe space kits is what they call them, which they have gotten into our school district to normalize homosexuality, because they believe that the reason these kids are taking their lives is that they're not accepted, and not just accepting the student, but accepting their behavior and the lifestyle as well. So they take it even a step further.
So go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that this anti-bullying has come into the schools under many different forms. The Human Rights Campaign targeted three elementary schools in Minneapolis in 2008 with their Welcoming Schools program.
Now, let's back up. The Human Rights Campaign is the nation's leading homosexual activist lobby group, led by that guy, Joe Salmanese, who I alluded to earlier, who is an anti-Christian bigot. It's a very powerful organization. HRC.org is the website. So they actually targeted your state because of these famous cases of homosexually identified young people who took their own life.
Well, they actually targeted our state in 2008. The recent suicides are 2010, just this past year. But they targeted our state for some reason 2 years ago in the elementary schools. And again, to show you how you can stand up to this, one courageous parent was able to successfully get this out of the schools. And she went and got a copy of the curriculum and saw that it was all pro-homosexual picture books and puppets and lessons. And they were using the film It's Elementary, which, you know, has a fifth grader saying some Christians believe if you're gay, you'll go to hell, and they want to torture them and stuff. I mean, all of these kinds of things that are anti-Christian in this film.
Can I make a point about that, Barb, just for factual check? That film, It's Elementary, produced by, I believe, a couple of lesbians, used widely. It still is used in the schools. That part you referred to, that was in the original film. They realize that, they pushed it too far. They have a kid who is obviously coached, who says that some people want to kill homosexuals. And they took that part out of the film because they knew that they'd pushed it a little too far. So just a little fact about that.
They're redone now.
Oh, they redid it. Yeah, they're very, the homosexual activists, just like they kicked NAMBLA out of gay pride parades, the North American Man Boy Love Association, a pedophile pederasty group, which advocates sex between men and boys, once marched in gay pride parades. So they know that they have to, certain things are too far, and they change them for public opinion. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, she found when she looked at the curriculum that they were normalizing the same-sex parenting. They would bring gay parents into the classroom as guest speakers. They had little activities like packets of photographs where the kids could create families. But lo and behold, you found out that there would be leftover pictures, like maybe two dads or two moms. So you couldn't create just all traditional families. And they brought in other films like That's a Family, Both My Mom's Names Are Judy. They would learn about famous gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people. And then they would get rid of the stereotyping that they see in the traditional fairy tales and read to the children King and King. All of this.
Tell us about King and King.
Well,
that's a book where a prince ends up marrying another prince instead of a princess, right?
Of course. So, you know, in other words, the kids can, little boys can learn that they don't have to marry a girl someday. They can marry a boy if they want to.
Now, Barb, back up a bit. How did this curriculum that was sponsored by the Human Rights Campaign or encouraged by them, how did that actually get into schools? And how many schools did it get into in Minnesota?
Well, it got into only one. It was targeted for Jefferson Elementary, Parkview Elementary, and Hale. Hale is the first one they got it into, and they realized that there was so much controversy over this that the other two never even got it used. And then by the time this parent got this curriculum so gutted with all the pro-gay propaganda in there, there wasn't much of anything left, so they've totally discontinued it now.
Now, so that was, they were sort of HRC, this homosexual activist group, Human Rights Campaign, was using one particular small part of Minnesota as the guinea pigs to see if they could get this?
Yes, and then they're saying, it's been so successful and wonderful. Well, it hasn't. It's been a total failure. And one thing that was really of much concern to these parents, and again, one parent set off the alarm bells and got other parents around her. And when they looked at the curriculum, what is amazing is that these children in the classes were to be continually observed, assessed, and evaluated on how they could complete the sentence, "I used to think, but now I know." And so it was a pattern of brainwashing that they was so obvious that they were using with the kids.
No, wait a minute. I don't get that. Say that again, Barb. I used to think,
but now I know.
So what is that referring to?
To what the values were of what they thought about same-sex parents.
Oh, I used to think homosexuality was wrong, but now I know.
So now they could change the thinking of the children without the parents realizing this was going on.
Yeah, these are propaganda techniques.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So that was a failure. So welcoming schools is out in Minnesota, as far as we know. But then we also had another situation at a high school that a parent called me about, a pastor actually, last spring. And his son was in class and suddenly texted his dad and said, "Get me out of here. The gay students are coming in and teaching the class all afternoon." And again, this was under the guise of anti-bullying.
Now, wait a minute. Gay students, so that would that be the gay student club at the high school? They were bringing them in to talk to the class about bullying.
Yes, he said he wasn't sure exactly who the adults were, but they all came in wearing blue shirts. They showed up in the classes, and adults with these students that were involved, I believe, in the Gay Straight Alliance, and they had the whole thing was student-led with the adults watching. The students in the classroom were forced to express their opinions whenever they were asked a question. They couldn't pass. They had to share their personal opinion. And, for example, one question was asked, "In a gay bar, would you feel safe, endangered, or not sure?" Now, why would you even ask these underage kids about going to a gay bar?
In a gay bar.
Yeah.
This is high school?
This is a high school, right.
And, of course, now you got the whole psychological factor where you've got the kid who he doesn't really – he's afraid to say what he thinks. And then you have all the politically – yes. And so they're using peer pressure to change kids' minds and also to make it more less likely that a kid would actually say that homosexuality is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, one student said he just went along with it because he was so afraid to disagree. So then, you know, they see the other kids agreeing, you know, with whatever questions they ask, and then they don't want to be, you know, in the minority, so then they kind of go along with it, too. So it's definitely peer pressure.
I'm sorry to cut you off there. Go ahead. So the father finds out, the kid texts his dad, and then what happens?
So then the dad goes to the school, and he said, "I want my child out of the class." And he said, "Well, your kid signed up for this." And he said he never signed up for homosexual indoctrination, pulled his kid out of the class, and he interviewed some of the other students afterwards that ended up staying in the class. They had another exercise where they had to stand up, and if they agreed with the question, they would step forward. If they disagreed, they would step back. Well, you can see what peer pressure that is. Don't you want to be on the in crowd? And suddenly you're the one left on the outskirts.
Oh.
One of the student leaders said, "If it wasn't for hard-headed Christians who were homophobic and hateful, we wouldn't have these problems." So, I mean, it was anti-Christian. In another class, the staff...
We got 50 seconds, Barb, so give me a summary, and then we'll go to the next segment.
Okay. In another class, a boy was brought in with high heels and a skirt, so they're bringing in the transgender thing as well.
Okay, high heels and a skirt, what, to teach the class on how to dress as a woman?
That this is normal. That this is normal. And then they passed out rainbow buttons. And I mean, all of this kind of thing was going on during the school day when they should be focusing on academics.
And it's all being done in the name of stopping bullying. Folks,
yep.
You can stop bullying by just stopping bullying. You don't have to teach homosexuality to stop bullying. You can just stop bullying if the school takes charge. And this sort of propaganda should never be done in a school. We're talking to Barb Anderson, Minnesota Family Council, MFC.org. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is the Americans for Truth Hour, or this particular episode should be called the Horror Stories from the Gay Left Hour. We're talking to Barb Anderson, who just has so much information. It probably drives you nuts, Barb, how much you know. You've probably forgotten more than most people even would imagine goes on in the schools. You mentioned in the last segment, transgender. Now,
yes.
A kid was brought in, a boy in high heels and a dress. You know, they're bringing in people practicing deviance as teachers. This is like the inmates running the asylum. You've got a boy who, how did it come apart? Was he in the Gay Straight Alliance? Who was this boy who was, and how old was he? And he's walking around in school in high heels and a dress.
Well, they didn't say who the boy was. The father never did find out. But this whole transgender movement, it's so bizarre how this is just riding in on the coattails of the whole homosexual movement. And I can tell you, 1 year when I went to the Minnesota School Health Education Conference, I was blown away when at the health conference they had a booth set up, and it was the Gender Education Center. And the director of the Gender Education Center was none other than a person called Deborah Davis, whose real name is David Nielsen. And he was the subject of controversy back in 98 when he came out at a high school in Minneapolis as the transgender high school librarian woman. But he now...
Wait a minute. He was a librarian, and 1 year he was a man, and the next year or whenever he came out, he was, quote, a woman?
That's correct. And so now he is the expert and the director of the Gender Education Center. So like you said, it is the inmates running the institution. I mean, this is a mental disorder and a sexual disorder, and yet they are saying that this is normal. And again, they're redefining gender. It's no longer male and female. It's all these choices based on your feelings and your sexual desires.
Now, I just want to clarify, with the boy who was in the high heels, that was brought in. Was that the one where the father, the son texted him and he said, this is going.
Yeah.
Okay. So they were gathering information on what was being taught. And again, here I say the travesty of all this is that it's all being done without parents' knowledge. And kids, you know, the reality is we know that kids have their cell phones and they're operating in schools. I know this because I have kids. And even though the cell phones are banned, the kids are so adept at texting that they can text without even looking at their phone. So if you are a young person and you have an opportunity to tape some of this ridiculous propaganda that's going on in the schools, go for it. I don't care if they say you can't do it. This is a taxpayer-funded school. Tape it. Send us the tape. We need to expose these people for what they are, which is propagandists who are manipulating kids' minds. They're giving them partial information. They are not telling them about ex-gays. God forbid that you teach young people that homosexuality is not an identity. It's a behavior that can be changed. This is what kids need to hear. And on college campuses, too, Barb, I mean, the fact is the kids are just getting one side of an issue and then they think they know what they're talking about when they're really very ignorant.
That's right. I mean, they can't even make a decision because they don't have all of the information. They don't know there are other options, other choices out there. One thing the pastor, parent concluded, who is a pastor, when his son was so upset by what went on in the classroom, this is an amazing comment he made. He said, "I don't think the school understands the anguish these kids go through when they're taught at home this is wrong, and the school says the opposite. They don't know who to obey, and they just want to bust out of these groups. The kids are scared and totally intimidated. They have created a really hostile environment there, so militaristic with absolute fear and intimidation. This is our public schools. I mean, what have we come to? Isn't this amazing?"
And Barb, you don't sound to me like anybody who would bully anybody. You don't sound to me. You are a grandmother. I'm sorry I didn't do an introduction as I did in the first part of the interview. Barb Anderson has been married for 37 years. She's a grandmother. I mean, she's got three grandchildren, two children. You sound, I've never met you in person, Barb, but you have always been so kind and you don't want to hurt anybody. And yet what they're teaching is that basically you are a hater. And that you are helping, they're saying, they don't even hide it anymore, Barb. They come right out and say, you know, the Christian right is killing kids. They're leading to these kids killing themselves. That's how brazen the homosexual activists and their liberal allies right now. How do you answer that, that they're saying Barb Anderson, by what she does, is helping kids die?
Well, it is so sad. I mean, we've received emails that the blood of these students is on your hands, this kind of thing, which is just nonsense. And what true compassion is giving kids the truth, showing kids that there are alternatives, that there is a way out, that they can get help to overcome their these feelings. Yes, they do not choose their feelings, but they choose what they can do with them. And it's so important to find out. A lot of these kids have been sexually abused, and it's a cry for help when they have these feelings of sexual confusion. And we're denying them real help by channeling them in and labeling them as gay. I mean, this is so dangerous and so damaging to these children to have this early identification. And it really is just a moral subversion of their school children that's going on today without parents knowing what's going on.
And Barb, you know, the facts are that homosexuality has caused a lot of death, the practice of homosexuality, early death among especially self-identified gay men. Last week we read from a report, the CDC fact sheet, you know, MSM, men who have sex with men, account for nearly half of the more than 1 million people living with HIV in the United States. The same CDC reports reveals a shocking statistic that's been in the news. 1 in 5 MSM, that's 1 in 5 men who have sex with men, participating in a very large survey, was found to be infected with HIV. And then of those who were infected, nearly half, 44%, were unaware of their HIV status. Young MSM, that's men who have sex with men, and MSM of color were least likely to know they were infected. And the report concludes, Barb, AIDS continues to claim the lives of too many MSM. Since the beginning of the epidemic, this is the HIV epidemic, more than 279,000 men who have sex with men with AIDS have died. And so it's not compassionate to promote a lifestyle that, by its practice, leads to disease and early death.
That's false compassion. And, you know, when you look at these teachers labeling these kids, and if they go down that path, what is going to happen if one of these students tries a homosexual acts because the teacher has said that you're probably gay? And then he not only comes down with HIV, but, I mean, there could be hepatitis A, B, C, gonorrhea, syphilis, the gay bowel syndrome, anal cancer. I mean, it goes on and on. And is this what we want for our children? We should weep for the children when we see what is being offered to them under the guise of health. I mean, to go to a health conference and have someone from the Minnesota Department of Education, who's now with the Department of Health, say homosexuality is normal and natural. I mean, this is just a blatant lie that's being told to our teachers, and then they take this information into the schools and they give it to the kids, and they put their lives at risk.
And Barb, I want to read from this Birds and Bees Project, Gay Sex Ed for Kids. This is an article that Barb wrote on the Minnesota Family Council website, mfc.org. Some of this is just absolutely shocking, and it's incredible. They're teaching sex acts, including deviant homosexual sex acts. They're teaching those in the guise of even abstinence. And again, as Barb revealed last week, the attitude is, if you're teaching normal sex, what Barb would call normal sex, natural sex between a man and a woman, and as we believe as Christians, it should be limited to marriage. But if you're teaching that, then you also have to teach bisexuality and homosexuality. And so they actually teach rimming. Talk about that. And if you're listening, this is gross. But Barb, what is rimming? And this is a homosexual, a deviant act. And why is it being taught to kids in school?
Well, rimming is a term for putting a person's mouth on an anus. And it should not be taught in the school. Kids should not know this information. But their whole thinking is that if some person does that, we can't judge that behavior. So we have to try to make it as safe as we can. So we tell them to use a dental dam, which isn't going to make it safe.
What is a dental dam?
And then you expose all of the rest of the kids in the class to these deviant behaviors they've never even thought of. A dental dam is where they can cut a condom, a latex condom, to create a barrier between their mouth and that part of the body. And I remember one of the health conferences that I went to going into one of the breakout sessions where they were doing a demonstration of the dental dams. And the person leading the demonstration was a young woman by the name of Daisy May. I don't know if that was her real name. And she was HIV positive. And yet she's telling kids how to be safe. Yeah. I mean, they used to have vice squads, didn't they, that shut down things like this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm struck by what you said.
At a health conference.
Yes, if someone's doing it, then we have to teach it, and we can't even judge it. You know what? If there's anything in the world that you can judge, it's rimming. It's anal sodomy. These are deviant, morally wrong acts. They produce disease, hepatitis. The body was not made for this. This is unbelievable. This is equivalent to the CDC and our leading health authorities saying we should pass out condoms at these gay bathhouses rather than shut the gay bathhouses down.
That's
Barb,
right.
Wouldn't it make more sense, Barb, just to shut down places where men are being allowed to slap down $10 and have anonymous sex with a bunch of other men? Wouldn't it be just make more sense to close those sex clubs down?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but again, you're making a judgment there doing that. I mean, we have taken this whole concept of not judging so far that it has become absolute politically correct madness. And to the point where we have to get back to saying, no, we don't judge a person's heart, but we can and must judge behavior, especially if it is behavior that is life-threatening to our young people, like these kinds of behaviors that are being taught under the guise of comprehensive sex education and safe sex.
Yeah, Barb, I want you to talk about that term comprehensive sex ed when we return. You know, it sounds so good, and yet it's inclusive, to use their word, of teaching even the most deviant practices like rimming and anal sex. It's just incredible what's going on. We're talking to Barb Anderson, who's a researcher with the Minnesota Family Council. Their website is mfc.org. That's mfc.org. You're listening to an interview on the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. I'm talking to my friend Barb Anderson, who is a grandmother. She's a mom of two. She's a wonderful person, a dedicated Christian, and she's also a leading exposer of the junk, the propaganda that's being taught in our schools. And Barb, I want to ask you, that term that you mentioned, comprehensive sex ed, talk about that, because it's intimidating to parents when they're said, the school says, well, you know, what can you have about comprehensive sex ed? Don't you want your child to be taught the comprehensive facts about how to stay safe?
Well, comprehensive sounds so good. It's like we want them to have all the information. But what comprehensive sex ed does, it's including information on all forms of birth control. And it's like taking a jigsaw puzzle with thousands of pieces and dumping it out on a kid and not giving a box top and no straight edges and tell them, you put it together. Because it's all about giving them information and letting kids make the decision when they don't have the life experiences to even know how to put these pieces together. And so they are exposed to every kind of birth control, even the ones that are not some that are so harmful that they shouldn't even be talking about them and thought of as choices. And then they are told that they have to choose what is right for them. And, of course, as we mentioned on the other show, that the teachers are instructed at these health conferences that there is no right or wrong. It's simply what is right for you. And students are told, wait to have sex until you are ready. Wait to have sex until you and your partner have talked about it and you feel that it's right for you. So there are no boundaries, no guidelines. And it's not abstinence until marriage. It's abstinence until whenever you feel ready. And this is so different from true abstinence until marriage curricula.
Okay, wait a minute, Barb. This is important. They finagle it so the parents think they're getting abstinence instruction, but it's not real abstinence instruction like most people would think, teaching the kids to be abstinent. Explain that abstinence trick that they do.
Well, abstinence is just mentioned. As long as they briefly mention it and say abstinence is 100% best way to not get pregnant or have sexually transmitted diseases, then they can say that they teach abstinence in the curriculum. And they leave it at that, and they spend far more time talking about comprehensive contraceptive methods of birth control. And this is where the vast majority of the time is spent. When you get a true abstinence until marriage curriculum, which parents need to see the difference, I mean, it's like night and day. In the true curriculum where you're talking about abstinence until marriage, you have kids talking about character development, what it means to fall in love, what it means to, what is marriage all about, and why. You give them a vision of why they want to save sex for marriage. There's no vision within comprehensive sex education. It's all about feelings, and if it feels good, do it. And that's, and they undermine the kids' modesty by all of the diagrams that they have, the activities they have, and all the devices that they bring in their little contraceptive kits into the classroom. And so that's why we see that there is, these programs are not effective. But one thing the kids aren't learning in there is that they can be exposed to HPV and herpes through many of the activities that they're taught in the classroom. That girls' reproductive systems, the cervix, is so immature that it is a greater target for sexually transmitted disease than a girl when she's in her 20s. A lot of this information children aren't being given in the comprehensive sex ed classes, and yet they dare call it comprehensive when in some ways it really isn't.
Now, Barb, we mentioned that
life-saving information is omitted.
Yeah, they're giving this antiseptic sex ed in the name of safety, but the irony is they're not honest about the health risks.
And they're not dealing with the emotional consequences and what happens when you are bonding with another person, when you have sex with that person, and what the changes are that occur in your brain from the bonding. I mean, there's so much new scientific information out, and an excellent book is by Dr. Miriam Grossman entitled "You're Teaching My Child What?"
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly, she reveals what is going on in the comprehensive sex ed classrooms and much of the information that I've gathered that is so shocking that when parents realize that, they go, what? I can't believe teachers would teach this.
Now, Barb, on the homosexual issue, I asked you off the air, I think, have you ever had a successful situation where you got in a public school that they actually taught that there are all these added risks specifically linked to men who have sex with men, to homosexual practice?
I don't know of a single school that is doing that.
Because isn't it like saying you have the same chance of getting a cold if you're just sitting in your house with your husband, or if you're sitting in a room with a bunch of snivelly children in a daycare center? Obviously, in one environment, you have a much greater health risk. In the homosexual environment, we're talking right now MSM, men who have sex with men, and we read the CDC report. Obviously, there are all sorts of added health risks, some linked to the unnatural practices themselves. We've heard of a homosexual activist describing rimming and anal sex as a breeding ground, you know, that it helps spread disease. It's specifically linked to spreading disease. But also just the promiscuity, the behavioral patterns of men who are more sexually aggressive, that leads also to easier spread of disease.
Well, in comprehensive sex education, they always teach the AIDS lessons, and as an AIDS is an equal opportunity disease, and every
which is not true.
Read,
that is not true.
Anyone can get AIDS, and that is absolutely not true. If you are
say that again. Say that again, Barb.
When you get married,
Barb,
pardon me?
Say that one more time. AIDS is an equal opportunity disease.
That is how it is presented, that anyone can get AIDS, and this is false information that they're giving to kids. There are some people that are much more likely to get AIDS based on their behaviors, but this is not information that is given to students in health classes.
But, you know, and it's not actually even true in the extreme. If they're a man and a woman both saved themselves for marriage, they will not have HIV. Unless they got it from a blood supply or something from mm-hmm. sexual practices, they won't. And so they can't teach the health risks of homosexual behavior, because that would indict homosexuality itself, and that's the liberal left will never allow.
That's the bottom line, right there.
What do you do about that? I mean, and how are you trying to get real information to kids on the homosexual issue?
Well, we keep moving forward with the truth, and I think we need to have parents be teaching their children. They need to get the information and equip their kids so that they can be messengers of the truth in the public school classroom. Students can learn how to question their teachers and respectfully raise their hand and say, well, what about this? Or on what authority are you saying that, or where is the scientific information that backs that up?
Hey, Barb, I once confronted a teacher. A lot of these teachers know what's really going on. I confronted a sex ed teacher. I told her, I read some of the CDC statistics, and she told me that, yes, she knows that's true, that there's an added risk, but she said she can't teach it because she's afraid of being charged with discrimination.
Oh, yes. I know, and there's many of those teachers when I go to the Minnesota School Health Education Conference that are afraid to speak up, and they have come to our booth privately and said, thank you, we are so glad you are here. And we keep distributing truthful information and hoping that these teachers will take it and use that in the classroom. But they are afraid of being charged with being discriminating as well as being called homophobic.
Right.
And we need to not worry about the name-calling. We've got to get beyond that.
Yes, that's so true. And Barb, we've got a minute left. Give me 30 seconds. What should parents do? They need to get that information and get it out.
The parents need to be actively involved, and they need to know that this is going on in the schools. They need to be willing to be on the front lines and prepare their children. They can't back down. The future health of their children and their grandchildren is at stake. And this guerrilla warfare that we're seeing in the schools against the values that the parents are instilling in their children is endangering their kids' lives. And they can't sit back. They need to be very active and, first of all, educate themselves so then they can pass this information on to their children and their children's teachers.
Well, Barb, we're so grateful that you've been part of this interview, and we have another interview because you're so good. Next week, we'll be talking to Barb Anderson again. She's with the Minnesota Family Council. That website is mfc.org. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.